Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Imagine uncovering the secrets that others missed. A hidden clue, a silent witness, a twist that changes everything. I'm Carter Roy, host of Murder True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Join me every Tuesday as we dive into a famous solved or unsolved murder case. Follow and listen to Murder True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the doozy coming up from Orchard Park on Sunday afternoon. And on that note, we're excited to welcome Kadri Ismail, who won a Super Bowl ring with the Ravens in his NFL career, 10 years as a wide receiver, and now co-host of Purple Pregame and Postgame on WJZ-TV in Baltimore. Longtime friend, one of our favorites to have on the show. So first of all, good morning, Q. Happy New Year.
Yes. Good morning, Amy. Happy New Year to you. It is always... Always great to hear your voice.
Oh, you too. So when I tell you, or when I say, of course you know this, but when I throw out this number, 500 rushing yards between these two teams in the last weekend, the wild card weekend, what does that mean for a wide receiver when the two teams go out for 500 rushing yards?
I'm the receiver that says glass half full. I'm the receiver that says that means I'm going to get some man-to-man coverage. And when it's time to throw the football, all I got to do is beat one guy, and I'm going to have a big play.
Is that possible again this week when these two teams match up against each other, that either one of them could be that successful running the ball?
I think so. I think when you get to the playoffs, you are that team that if you're a passing team, so be it. If you're a running team, so be it. I think both of these teams, you know, looking at their profile, their offensive line, they love to get guys moving, D linemen. I'm sure going to have to really challenge themselves as far as their footing. But then you got explosive backs on both sides of the ball, and because of that, that's where you gotta buckle up. You gotta just know that coordinators aren't going to be dramatically changing and shifting their offensive philosophy.
Derrick Henry has had such an incredible year with the Ravens. Obviously, Lamar and many other members of the Ravens offense are talking about what he's meant to them. From your perspective, how has this changed the Ravens?
I think it just validates who they are, the way in which Derrick Henry goes about his business on and off the field. You know, when you talk about what it is to be a pro, a lot of guys, they talk about it, but they don't know what that really means. I love how the fact that he takes care of himself no matter what. There is no necessary peer pressure to be like, oh, you gotta, you know, why are you eating this? Why are you resting that way? Why are you using this recovery modality? You know, he doesn't care. And I think it is showing. And it's showing late in the season when he's only getting better. And usually when guys fall off the cliff, at that magic age of 30, he's only gotten better.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the big thing when you look at, you know, Derrick Henry. He just, it's not about what he's saying. It's about what he's doing and his leadership throughout the locker room.
What about his impact on Lamar Jackson, who obviously was already a reigning NFL MVP?
I think it's a two-way street. I think, yes, again, like I said, I know there's a guy that is a Hall of Famer that has Hall of Fame credentials now in the backfield with me. Obviously, Lamar has Hall of Fame credentials himself, but I think, you know, he doesn't feel like he has to do it. You could see where the turning point was early in the season when I say Lamar doesn't have to do it. I don't have to be Superman. I can do the regular mundane thing. I do it really well, but I can go out there and lean on Derrick Henry in certain circumstances and situations and not feel like it's all about me. So I think having that dynamic duo, if you will, that's where it really has shown in Lamar's game as well as Derrick Henry's game.
What is the What's the top option, the best option for them if they're going to pass the ball?
Yeah, I think the elephant in the room is Zay Flowers has a knee injury. I highly doubt he's going to be playing.
Oh.
At the same time, you have Rashad Bateman, who has emerged as a touchdown-making machine and has done great work, deep ball, intermediate ball, and red zone. When you look at it, his go-to guy is Mark Andrews. So his security blanket is Mark Andrews, but yet you got a dynamic secondary tight end in Isaiah Likely. Those three alone are dynamic in their own right, and so you're not necessarily having this like fall off the cliff because Zay Flowers isn't playing as receiver one. And then you also look at just the backup in Justice Hill. Justice Hill has been amazing this year. When Derrick Henry's out of the game, there's no necessary drop-off in production when it comes to the running back position. And so he's fabulous in the backfield as well. So I'm looking at it as a situation where Lamar Jackson has plenty of weapons. They've said it all year long. We've seen it. It's a pick-your-poison offense. Who you try to take away, that's who Lamar is going to be like, all right, great. I'll go to the next guy, and he's going to be just as effective.
Kadri Ismail is with us from Baltimore, where he is co-host of Purple Pregame and Postgame on WJZ-TV, getting set for the divisional round. He won a Super Bowl with the Ravens in his career. What's that like to be the last team standing and know that you are the champions of the NFL?
It's a surreal feeling. It's a feeling where, you know, you've seen it in terms of just the dominance, whether it been the Patriots earlier on, was in my era, was the Dallas Cowboys or the 49ers. Current era, it's the Kansas City Chiefs. That sustaining of multiple championships, you know, that's incredible. But to win one, to be the last team standing, you know, that off season, man, your soreness, your injuries, all that banged upness, it just, they don't feel as bad. You kind of just have a little lightness to you, and you got a great owner in Steve Bisciotti. So in your mind, like, yes, the ring is going to be spectacular.
I know the, well, just from your social media, since you and I are connected, the ability to give a little extra razzing to Pittsburgh is always nice for Ravens fans or former Ravens players. And they're in a situation where they've got a string of losses now in the postseason. But the Ravens, they're trying to get back to the Super Bowl for the first time in a while. And for Lamar Jackson, it would be the first time. Even having the AFC Championship in Baltimore a year ago, he talked about being a little bit too hyped up. What do you see that's different about this team?
Well, even that too hyped up, I think it's the composure that we're seeing with Lamar in this phase of his career. We're seeing that he's not trying to, you know, do the impossible. We see that, yeah, okay. As a matter of fact, it was interesting because in the one mic'd up him on the sideline, he was like, look, man, I knew I wasn't going to do anything. I was going to throw that away. I threw the football away. We're going to live to fight another down. And I just saw such, you know, just the game has slowed down for him mindset, because that's what winning football is all about. Situationally, you put yourself in position to not harm your team, but put pressure on the other team. And so, yeah, meanwhile in Pittsburgh, you got issues going on with Mike Tomlin and whether or not they're going to have a franchise quarterback. Sure, they put a lot of effort and a lot of money into their defense. They have this kind of up and down mercurial receiver and Pickens, but I think for them, it's like, what do we do? You know, what do we need to do to, as the Cincinnati Bengals have risen, as we've seen with Baltimore being consistent in the John Harbaugh era of the Lamar Jackson regime, what is it that they need to do? And I think, yeah, we saw it on full display, both Lamar's maturity, his veteran understanding of what he wants to do to play winning football, and then we also saw in their rival in the Pittsburgh Steelers their constant struggle to figure out what they need to do to stay relevant, even though they had a winning year and they made the playoffs.
How much does Lamar's maturity and this process have to do with Todd Monken?
I think it's everything. I think Greg Roman his first offensive coordinator brought him to a level. But I don't really feel like he had a good counterpunch when things were figured out with regards to Greg Roman's play calling. I think Todd has given Lamar more. And in that first year, we saw it. But now we see it where Lamar goes to the line of scrimmage, and he's talked about this as well, where it's like, okay, here's the weakness of the defense. Here's how I'm going to attack it, and I have the autonomy to change the play and do what I feel is necessary for our offense to succeed on that given drive. And I think throughout this year, you know, Lamar has been in lockstep with Todd and Todd with him.
Kadri Ismail is with us from Baltimore, Super Bowl champion himself. And now we're getting ready for Bills and Ravens coming up at Orchard Park, though. So not in Baltimore this time. This is a challenging question for any defensive coordinator, certainly for any team that has to face a Josh Allen. What's the first step that you have to take to contain him with his skill set?
Yeah, that's the thing. It was interesting in the press conference earlier in the week. They called it the long-winded play. And how do you combat the long-winded play? You got two quarterbacks that are long-winded. In other words, Josh Allen goes to the line of scrimmage. Okay, cool. Here's what we got as far as our play and what we want to do. But then what is it when that play isn't on schedule? So that off-schedule play, now it becomes long-winded, and Josh Allen, man, phenomenal, just dual threat himself. He's going to, either a run or he's going to extend it, and his receivers are going to make a big play down the football field. And I think that's something that for Zach Orr and what he has in front of him, the Ravens defensive coordinator, it's like, how do you stop the long-winded play of Josh Allen?
His ability to extend, right, and to evade and to escape, no doubt. I won't ask you to name your MVP if you had a vote, Kadri, but I will ask, how do you define most valuable when you're talking about such valuable players?
I've seen it back in my day. I've seen it throughout my time as an analyst, that it's just clear and obvious, that guy that every week he just shows up. Every week he is just putting up great numbers. His team is flourishing. They're a different looking team when he's out there on the football field. And it doesn't necessarily have to be offensively. I've seen sometimes where defensively you've seen guys kind of go on a run. But we all know, it's pretty much given, especially with the way the NFL has constituted itself, that it's a pretty much foregone conclusion that you're going to have a quarterback in the mix every year. And I think that, to me, is what the MVP is. It's like you just know, like every time that guy has the ball, that there's something there that he does that separates him from the rest of the league.
Because we're friends, I know you don't love the cold. So I know that Baltimore is getting ready for an Arctic blast, so you better bundle up there, Q, if you're going to go outside. But when you're catching a football in the cold, what does that feel like? The extreme cold that we'll get this weekend.
So I did go to Syracuse, and I did play for the Minnesota Vikings. Both teams, by the way, have dome stadiums.
Yes!
But you playing, you know, West Virginia, or you playing Green Bay, coaches are like, nah, we're going outside. So you're going out to, which now is no longer in existence, but Coin Field. Or you're going, you know, out to, which no longer exists either. See how old I'm getting, and everything gets updated. But Winter Park, where the Vikings facility, you open up the doors, you get it as cold as possible, and you get your mind right to recognize the cold weather. When you look at it in today's technology, you know, there are things that you can do as far as just, you know, your different, you know, winter gear to help you kind of offset it. But then at the same time, them TV timeouts, girl, skip all that trying to be some hero standing in the middle of the field and all that, man. No, go to the sideline. You go to one of those big old propane blowing jet engine tank that's going to keep you nice and warm. I mean, that's the bottom line. So There are ways to manage the cold, and I think guys will be on point to do it.
Does the ball feel like a rock when you catch it?
It does. And it's weird because I would suspect that, well, all right, great, cool. You know you want to have a good quality game if you're the NFL. Mother of pearl. Like, get one of them big old ball warming holder thingamajiggers. Put the doggone thing around the ball boys that are on the sideline that, you know, a ball goes in. Okay, good. That's in the play. Now all of a sudden the ball goes out. Okay, get the one out of the bag that's nice and toasty. And then you just toss it on into the side judge. Side judge gives it to the head linesman gives it to the center. Center's like, oh, I can feel it. Quarterback's going to have it. I can feel it. Then all of a sudden the quarterback throws it. And then if you Mark Andrews or Isaiah Likely, I can feel it. Amari Cooper is like, ooh, I this is great. Man, there's technology. I don't see why we need to worry about some heavy, hard football. Like, we can get it into the softness if it's like you're down in South Florida playing the Miami Dolphins in the heat of September.
Mm, all right. I knew I was going to get a good answer. I didn't realize it was going to be that good. Thank you, Q. That's a good idea. NFL needs to jump on that with all their technology. All right. You can find Kadri Ismael on Twix. That's what I call it, Q. I am Kadri Ismael. No you in there because that annoys Q. One time. Do you remember the one time that I mispronounced your name and we had our one fight as friends? Do you remember that?
I do. Challenged it. And then at the same time, your professionalism and amazing abilities as a broadcaster, he was like, never again. And
nope,
watch, I'm going to show you. You are awesome.
No, you are awesome. It's good to talk to you. Excited to see this game. Of course, I know you are too. And you'll have the purple pregame and postgame on WJZ TV on Sunday. Have fun, Q. Again, Happy New Year. Thanks for a couple of minutes.
Yes, please. In the summertime, we're going out there. We got to hit the little white ball.
Okay, as long as you don't bring chocolate coconut water, because that stuff is gross.
Well, I've evolved since then. Now it's raw milk.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Well, this I got to see. All right, Q, we'll talk soon.
Thank you, Amy.
Gross.